On a Thursday, June 27th, you're listening to Idaho Matters here on Boise State Public Radio News. I'm George Prentice. We have a bit of breaking news now. Just this morning, Idaho Business for Education and HP Inc. released the results of a statewide study on education and the economy. It includes participation from more than 1,800 business leaders, teachers, lawmakers, school officials. Idaho Business for Education has set a goal to, quoting here, strengthen long-term education and economic competitiveness. Joining us today to talk more about the results of this new study are Rod Grammer, an HP vice president and the president and CEO of Idaho Business for Education, plus Gus Schmedlin and Marcella Escobari from the Brookings Institution. Hello to you all.
Good morning, George. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here. This is not the first study on education in Idaho. So up front, just talk to me about the why. Why did we do this, and what triggered this?
George, HP is one of our trustee members in Idaho Business for Education, and they volunteered to do this study. Mm-hmm. And the timing is excellent because we have the new Governor's Task Force on Education, Our Kids, Idaho's Future. And we didn't start this study because of that, but we hope that this research actually helps inform that task force's work. And the reason we did it is because HP has incredible resources to do a study like this. They do it in other countries like Hungary and Ecuador and Peru. This is the first time they've ever done it in the United States, and because they're one of our members and they have a strong presence here in Idaho, they volunteered to do it here. And I think what separates this from some other studies is the volume of Idahoans they talk to. They talk to 2,000 Idahoans, either in person or in focus groups or by surveys. And that is an incredible number. So it's a very comprehensive study, and I think part of it is the timing is perfect for our new task force.
Can you speak to the time frame? When were these conversations held?
I'll let Gus handle that.
Thanks so much. And I just want to say, too, on behalf of HP, that one of the reasons that we selected Idaho is because of our long legacy since the 1970s in Boise and in Idaho in general. So it just seemed like with all the support from the business community that it was a really good time to take what we learned internationally and then apply it in the Idahoan context. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think that speaks to the validity is the neutrality. So I'm from a place called Philadelphia, which is over in a state called Pennsylvania. And of course, we've retained one of the world's greatest economists, Marcella Escobari, here to come and also make sure that the findings and the recommendations were fully independent and from a neutral researcher positionality.
Okay, so you spoke to, close to 2,000 folks. Over what period of time and how recent?
Sorry, I realized I didn't answer your question then. So we kicked off the study and announced it on January 8th, mm-hmm. And the last survey closed last Friday.
And how did you determine who to talk to?
Great question.
Well, we had a lot of partners, George. So first of all, working through IBE, we had great partners like the Idaho Education Association helped us reach teachers. The Idaho School Boards Association helped us reach school board members. The Idaho Administrators Association helped us with principals and superintendents. And we also had business leaders like the Boise Metro Chamber, the Idaho Technology Council, IACI, and others who helped us reach the business community. And then IBE suggested really key opinion makers around the state to talk to. For example, the governor. Mm-hmm. They interviewed the governor, the superintendent, and other key superintendents around the state. So with our guidance, we kind of guided HP to some of the more informed people that they should talk to. And these partners, we could not have done it without our partners.
One of the things that jumped out for me initially in one of your early pages, you obviously define what this is, but you also define what it's not. And it says, this is not a recommendation on how to allocate the state's resources. And indeed, that's usually where this conversation heads.
Right. Well, I think what Gus and his team did was they did a great study, sort of giving us a snapshot of where our education system is. I kind of consider this a map. Okay. It's not telling us where you know, how to get to the destination. It's telling us, here is the map, here are some things that are important, here are some things that you need to address. It's now going to be up to all of us Idahoans, from the governor to the legislature, state board, the business community, teachers, parents. It's up to all of us now to take this and to move forward and really set our kids up for the kind of success in school, work, and life that they need.
Well, let's get into this. The first thing of substance that really jumped out for me is early childhood education.
Yes.
Here in Idaho, and readiness. Well, we live in a state where there is no full funding for pre-K. In fact, kindergarten isn't even required in Idaho. Can a study like this move that conversation forward?
Yeah, I think so. And as we wait for, you know, legislative action, I think there are also a number of other things that we can do outside of legislation, such as engage the private sector and the assets and capabilities that they provide to figure out how we partner with Idaho's families, Idaho's libraries, Idaho's communities to make a clearer path to early literacy in particular. The pre-K through 3 literacy rates can have really downstream negative effects on educational attainment like graduation rate or the go-on rate.
So, George, if I could just build on that with Gus, we've really got to start thinking about literacy as a continuum that begins early when the kids are toddlers, actually. But one of the key mileposts is getting four-year-olds ready for kindergarten. So we can't just look at literacy as a kindergarten through third grade. We have to look at it as a continuum that actually begins before kindergarten. And we have to keep working on that, as Gus said, both creating local early education opportunities like we have in Boise and Caldwell and other cities. And we also have to keep working on the legislative solution because we're one of only four states where the state doesn't spend state funds on early education.
Also to add, if we look at the industrial makeup of Boise and Idaho and the needs for talent and skilling, there is a huge gap. If we want to maintain the competitiveness of the city and the state, that gap in talent needs to be bridged. And you can't do that just focusing on high school. You have to think about the whole pipeline of education. And the disadvantages of kids not being prepared in kindergarten get compounded through their schooling trajectory and become more expensive to remedy every year.
I want to paint a word picture here only because I'm looking at a bar graph, a page inside the study. It's quite simply, it's a question to posed to parents. Why do students go to school? What motivates students to go to school? And when I look at this graph, I see four large bars, each representing an answer that a parent might give. And the one that is the highest, which I'm guessing means that's the number one answer that most parents said, it's because they have to. I'm a little disturbed by that, yeah. As opposed to, is how they have an opportunity. This is how they grow. This is.
Yeah. Well, maybe Gus can tackle this because, that is one that, I think most parents would say because they have to, but there's a deeper meaning here, which Gus can comment on.
There is. I think it speaks to curricular relevancy and the fact that some students can't connect what they're learning in school with the jobs or the college experience that they expect to do afterwards. And that sort of brings us to the most surprising finding, which is that parents and businesses and school board leaders, superintendents all agreed that the most important skills were things like personal responsibility, things like problem solving, collaboration, these non-cognitive skills. And in fact, businesses rated these higher than any of the stakeholder groups. So there was more agreement than disagreement about what ought to be taught and how it ought to be taught in Idaho schools.
We're speaking with Rod Grammer, an HP vice president and the president and CEO of Idaho Business for Education, plus Gus Schmedlin and Marcella Escobari from the Brookings Institution. Another graph that jumped out for me is labeled mismatched expectations, and it compares what parents believe as opposed to what reality is. And in this particular graph, it shows that 96% of parents that are asked believe their students will graduate from high school. Well, reality tells us it's only 80% that graduated in 2018. While 53% believe their students will attend some college, only 45% actually started college last year. Wow.
Yeah, there's no question that there's a mismatch in expectations. And some of this is just parental optimism. But the one that really jumps out is that only 0.2% of parents believe that their students would attend an online university, but 15% of the United States college students only and exclusively attend an online school. So there's a lack of awareness of other options, competency-based options, alternatives to traditional four-year institutions, I think.
What I like about that, George, really quick, is that it shows that parents have high aspirations for their kids. And that's one of the things we have to do in Idaho, because we have a cultural issue, especially around post-secondary education. And I'm glad to see that the parents have high aspirations for their kids, because we actually need – the parents have the biggest influence on whether kids go on to post-secondary more than any other person. So I'm really heartened by the fact that the parents see high expectations for their kids and high aspirations.
I'm particularly intrigued to see that mental health emerged as a major issue in this study.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, our teams went all over the five regions of Idaho, and many times we came looking to talk about education, and the first topic that came up was mental health. We're seeing it as a fairly severe issue of increasing severity, and it's not only the students that are affected and need to be addressed. There are really three parts of it. One are the students at high-performing high school who have this anxiety about, getting into the best college or getting, measured against, constantly measured against their peers. Well, also in rural areas where we have poverty and other headwinds, these students, they're really anxious about their future. And the third part of it is that because this urgent issue must be addressed, the resources that schools allocate are taking away from other things like college and career counseling or other things. So it's really – we see it as an emerging issue, and it's one we didn't anticipate would have such a major influence on Idaho schools, but it's out there for sure.
Marcella, can you talk to – obviously there's a direct line connected to the business community and what businesses can – do to be a part of a solution here. And that is very much a part of this study, yes?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this, in a way, parallels nicely to the work that I'm doing at Brookings on the future of work and understanding, what is going to drive not only growth, but growth that is inclusive. And again, if you want to maintain the kind of complexity in this state that brings good jobs and mobility, there is a huge gap in the talent pipeline. And to be able to bridge that, all these initiatives, many that work tremendously well, from, the four preschools tried in Boise to the CTE programs to other programs that helps high schoolers understand navigate their career options, need to be, increased 10 to 20 times. But the private sector has a huge role to play in creating apprenticeships, in providing that kind of specificity of knowledge that happens at work, in creating mobility for the workers. And you have a very committed private sector community. I think the goal is for them to coalesce, to find a few priorities and work together to drive change at a much, much greater scale than currently.
I must tell you that I see more than my share of studies. Just the nature of what I do. This is very readable. This is very accessible. So congratulations on that.
Well, thank you.
But walk me through this. Where are you going with this?
So now that the study's done, in August, Gus will release the final study, which will look very – yeah, these are basically the results. Okay. We wanted to get them out there. In August, we'll have a really beautiful final report to give to the media and the public and stakeholders. We're hoping that we can brief Our Kids, Idaho's Future Task Force on this. We've already briefed the governor. We've briefed our partners that I mentioned, the education associations and some of the other business partners. So our hope now is that we will create a conversation about what's important, and that the task force will come up, which its purpose is to come up with a new five-year plan for education and also look at what we've been doing in education and see if those things are working. So we're hoping that this report will start a conversation that we can then ride to a final five-year plan for where we're going next in education.
The other thing I'd say is that because of the depth, so we did the survey for scale and we did the qualitative interviews for depth, we've generated a lot. So we have over 80 hours of audio. We have, again, the voices of 2,000 Idahoans. And what we're going to do is take first anonymize that data set and then convey it to one of the higher education institutions here in Idaho for further study and analysis, and so that they can go back, rerun the study, and take longitudinal touch points in that. So it's really important that on behalf of HP, we will convey all data and evidence to the state of Idaho and its higher education institutions.
Indeed, these are the hot topics of our times, but I think what you've done here is maybe quantify this for possibly the first time.
And I think that you hit the nail on the head. And what we've seen are studies from the World Economic Forum, from consultancies like Deloitte and McKinsey, that say much of the same things here. But they weren't taken in the Idahoan context. So being able to take this and really go throughout the five regions of Idaho, survey, thousands of people throughout the state and show that, yes, the fourth industrial revolution is also unfolding here in Idaho, and what ought we do? That's, I think, a real powerful piece of this.
George, what I love about it is how the Idaho voices have come through this study. It's grassroots. It's average people, average teachers, average school leaders. The voice of Idaho really comes through this study. Marcella, I'm sorry.
No, I just to add that it comes at a time where all these conversations are happening at a national level. The issue of what automation is doing and technology, which is happening at the whole country, where it's bifurcating our society, and it's not that the robots are coming to take our jobs, but they're going to change all of our jobs, all of the tasks. So digital skills, soft skills, hard skills, they're all going to be at a premium. So taking action now on this will make a huge difference, and doing it at a higher level of urgency, like I mentioned, because it's not only the deficits here in Idaho, but in the context of what's happening around the world.
We've been talking with Rod Grammer, an HP vice president and president and CEO of Idaho Business for Education, plus Gus Schmedlin and Marcella Oscabari from the Brookings Institution. Thank you to you all. Up next, we'll talk about the controversial era of the 1950s in Boise and the so-called Boys of Boise scandal. That's coming up on Idaho Matters right here on Boise State Public Radio News.